Hills puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Gordon Goldsborough joins us now for this week's edition of Abandoned Manitoba. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we discussing this week?
Oh, each month in my household, the bills arrive in the mail. And every so often, the companies behind those bills urge us to go paperless. They promise things like convenience and security and, you know, big advantages. But I think it also saves them a bundle on postage and labor. We resist because there's just something we like about receiving a bill on paper. And that's how, tucked inside our monthly statement from Manitoba Hydro, we find a one-page newsletter called Energy Matters. For years, I ignored those newsletters. Then, a couple of weeks ago, I wondered, how long has Hydro been including a newsletter with its bills? And to my surprise, my research revealed that the tradition stretches back nearly a century. So that's our story we're exploring today.
So how does one research the history of newsletters included in our monthly bills? It's very specific.
Very much so. And normally I would say it's impossible because, well, these newsletters are an example of ephemera. Something that is intended for immediate consumption and not long-term retention. You know, probably people look at them and just pitch them in the garbage or the recycling. But luckily for me, the Legislative Library of Manitoba has a mandate to collect all publications originating in the province, and especially those produced by government. And they consider newsletters from a Crown utility, like Manitoba Hydro, to be publications, so they collect them. Not every single one, mind you. Their shelves have some conspicuous gaps where, for whatever reason, a month or two is missing. But when the librarians wheeled out a cart heavily laden with boxes, well, I suddenly had decades of these little newsletters at my fingertips. So I spent an enjoyable afternoon paging through them, and I was able to reconstruct their history all the way back to 1933. And over those 92 years, the format and content of the newsletter has changed remarkably. But before we dive into that story, I think we need to give our listeners a brief history of Manitoba Hydro itself.
So let's start there then. When was Manitoba Hydro founded?
Well, that kind of depends on your definition. The entity we know today as Manitoba Hydro originated in 1961, but its roots go back much farther to 1919. That's when the provincial government created something called the Manitoba Power Commission, and its mission was simple: deliver inexpensive electricity to rural Manitobans at the cost of production. So, by 1920, a transmission line from Winnipeg carried electricity to Portage la Prairie. And that was the beginning of our provincial transmission network. Remarkably, many of those original towers from more than a century ago are still standing. And what's maybe even more remarkable, they're still carrying power across Manitoba. Meanwhile, another government entity called the Manitoba Hydroelectric Board was established in 1949, and then a few years later, it purchased the assets of the Winnipeg Electric Company, which had been one of the power utilities here in Winnipeg. Then in 1961, the two boards merged to form Manitoba Hydro. So Manitoba Hydro as a name begins in 1961, but then finally in 2002, it absorbed Winnipeg Hydro, basically to become the province's predominant source of electricity. What I find especially interesting today is the contrast between then and now. Today, Efficiency Manitoba, a spinoff from Hydro, encourages us to reduce our power consumption. And that's the exact opposite of the old days, as reflected in the newsletters, when the goal was to sell and use as much electricity as possible.
Tell us more about that.
Well, when the Manitoba Power Commission and the other pieces that eventually became Manitoba Hydro first began operating, many Manitobans, and especially ones in rural areas, needed convincing that electricity was worth having. The companies spent a great deal of time and effort promoting the virtues of electrical service, and that set the stage in 1933 when the Power Commission began including a newsletter And it was called, by the way, Homemaker with its monthly bills. As the name suggests, it was aimed squarely at women who at the time were disproportionately working at home. The newsletter championed the benefits of electrical home appliances. You know, things like light bulbs, water heaters, clothes dryers, stoves and ovens, refrigerators and freezers, dishwashers, and well, and a whole lot more. In 1946, Homemaker became Town and Farm, reflecting the spread of rural electrification and the promise of electricity reaching homes throughout Manitoba. And these newsletters were not the one-page inserts we see today. Some ran to more than 30 pages. I mean, there was literally a little book stuffed into that envelope. By 1955, Town and Farm evolved again, this time into MPC News. MPC, of course, Manitoba Power Commission.
So you talked about, you know, the promotion of electric appliances. What else filled the pages of these monthly newsletters?
Well, humor was a regular feature, though it doesn't always age well. Most of the jokes read like, well, I guess what we might call dad jokes today. Here's an example from March of 1958. A hydro pole never hit an automobile except in self-defense. Oh,
I love that.
Beyond the jokes, there were public service announcements, you know, often on behalf of the Red Cross and other public organizations. Every issue contained electrical safety tips. Watch for live wires on the ground. Don't fly your kite near power lines. And how do you replace home fuses correctly? Some issues even pleaded with hunters not to shoot at electrical insulators. And at first I thought people would do that, but I guess it was a problem at the time. And you know, perhaps one of the most popular sections was a page of recipes contributed by a home economist employed by the Power Commission.
Why did the Power Commission have a home economist?
Well, I think their job was to educate women on the use of electric home appliances and their many applications. Beginning in 1948, the newsletters featured a column by a woman named Elizabeth. No name, last name, just Elizabeth. You know, at first I assumed this was a fictitious name, you know, something like Betty Crocker. I don't think there ever was a real person named Betty Crocker, but it turns out the first three women who held the role between 1948 and 1950 were all coincidentally named Elizabeth. There really was an Elizabeth. The newsletters also promoted the commission's radio broadcasts, and in 1957, its television news program called Tele-News Reports. You know, in 57, that was pretty early for television. The overall impression I get from browsing all these newsletters was that electrical service was a ticket to the future. You know, one issue from 1957 carried the slogan, "When you live electrically, you live the modern way." You know, it was really seen as a part of, you know, everyday life. In 1959, the newsletter introduced Electricity. He was a cartoon electrical plug who had feet, arms, and a head. And I think he served as kind of a mascot that I think some of our listeners will remember from the 1960s. You know, you'd see him everywhere. Electricity on billboards, electricity in your bills, and so on. By then, the merger had created Manitoba Hydro, and MPC News became Hydro Lines. And that name continued through 2001. And, you know, I suspect that many of our listeners will remember Hydro Lines until it was rebranded Energy Matters in 2001. And by then, most of the homespun content, the recipes, the jokes, the cultural notes, all of them had disappeared. It's really just focusing on, well, energy, which is kind of boring. I'm sorry, but that's what it is. But still, during its long run, I suspect that many people enjoyed reading the monthly newsletter as a way of staying connected to their power utility, which, as many of our listeners will know, continues to provide electricity at some of the lowest prices in North America. But back to Hydro Lines. Bruce, I understand you have a memory of a project that was inspired by something you read in the newsletter. Isn't that right?
Hold on to your seats. Yes. When I was in elementary school, I did a science project. One of the hydro lines that came in, because my dad was one that would read it monthly when it came with the bill, and had a little experiment, how to create your own electromagnet, which included, you know, getting a big bolt and a large kind of nut and a 9-volt battery. And if you wind the wire around the nut, and bolt, it electrifies it in a way and becomes a magnet. Didn't score too high in the old science project. Got an honorable mention for that.
I love Bruce's cameo appearance in this edition of Abandoned Manhood, but that was super interesting. And I love like all the quaint backstory to mm-hmm. this newsletter. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, I don't think it will come as any surprise to our listeners to learn that I love books. But there is a downside. I have a garage full of new or nearly new books that I have to clear out for an upcoming home construction project, and I'll do it at bargain basement prices. So next week, I will share what books I have that might make a great gift for the history-minded person on your holiday list.
Thank you, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.